I have very fond childhood memories of family holidays in the 1970s. For some reason, my dad had decided that Geraldton was the best place to go for a summer family holiday. And so, every year, just after Christmas, he'd pack his little four-cylinder white Gallant full of suitcases, and our family of five would head up without air conditioning to Geraldton. And one year, my older brother, can you remember this, Steve? He brought his guitar, just a little four-cylinder white Gallant. And I thought, you've got to be kidding me. There's just no room. Anyway, we'd always make a stop at Eneabba on the way. And I used to wonder why. Because it was such a horrible place. It was so hot. The wilting magpies looked like they were dying from lack of water, and our warm cheese sandwiches would be toasted before they reached our mouths. I'm not kidding, the cheese was dripping from the sandwich. Anyways, around 25 kilometres outside of Geraldton, the whole family would suddenly become quietly alert in the car. Us kids would sit up in the back seat, Mum would wake up from her long deep sleep, and Dad would grip that steering wheel just a little tighter, because we were all silently hoping to be the first person to spy the sea on the horizon. Anyone else played that game? Yeah, it's a good one for competitive families. Dad, I think, won most times, but we said that's because he's at the front of the car and he just gets that first glimpse. But anyway, good game to play. Well, I just came back from a holiday with my husband, Luke, and I decided without telling Luke that we should play a similar game on the way down to Pemberton in the southwest. But instead of looking for the sea, we would be looking for that first carry tree. Now, carry trees are my favourite tree in the whole wide world. I love the carry tree. It is only found in the southwest corner of Western Australia. It is amongst the tallest trees in the world. It grows up to 90 metres tall and it can live over 350 years. The carry tree is a majestic looking creature. Its trunk drips with dark brown bark, exposing a lovely white wood underneath, and its foliage is very different from the red gum and jarrah trees that keep it company in the forest. Once you've seen the foliage of a carry, you don't forget it. So, I was on a mission. I was going to spot that first carry tree as we headed down the Vass Highway towards Nanna. And I wasn't going to tell Luke he was a part of the game until I'd won the game, okay? That way I'm guaranteed to win. So I sat up and focused on the horizon, looking for that distinct foliage of the carry tree that I had memorised years ago. Well, I kid you not. It would have been no more than 30 seconds into my game that Luke, who was driving, turns to me and says, "I suppose you're looking to be the first one to see a carry tree." That is amazing. I looked at him and I said, "How did you know?" And he said, "Because I know you." Well, it took us ages to find one, but finally we did. And I think we spotted it together, didn't we, Luke? Let us pray. Father, we ask that you use your precious creation to speak to us all this morning. May everyone leave this place knowing beyond a shadow of doubt that they have heard from you. And encourage us, Lord, to respond to your voice in a way that would bring us closer to you. Because that is what you do. You draw us close to yourself with your word. Amen. Apart from spending time with my husband and my dogs, yes, we took the dogs on a holiday, my favourite part of my recent 3-week holiday was going for long walks in the Karri Forest. Who enjoys that? Going for long walks in the forest down south. Strangely, when I get close to trees, I can't help but feel close to Jesus. Honestly, for me, it's a spiritual experience walking through the forest, and it always has been. Why, you might ask, why do you feel close to Jesus, Pamela, when you walk through the forest? I'm so glad you asked. Well, it's because, and you're going to think I'm a fruitcake, but that's okay, because some of you do anyway. When I walk in the forest, I hear the trees speak. Yes, you heard me correctly. The trees speak. The trees speak. The trees, children, as you colour in, speak. Let me share with you a couple of pictures which gives you a glimpse of my joyful spiritual experience. We've got a video first up. Can we have that one, please, Jordan? Here are my ferocious dogs walking through a regrowth Karri forest. The whole of Denmark was completely, all the Karri trees were literally taken out of Denmark, and all that you see is regrowth, and the regrowth is magnificent. Look at those trees, they're all regrowth. It takes about 75 years for a Karri to reach its full height, that's all, and this forest would have been about that age, so it's just magnificent, isn't it? Can you feel it? We don't have much sound because Luke had, he's going to hit me later on. Luke had just walked up this hill, and when he got to the top, he thought, oh, I'm going to take some a video, and you could hear him going, he was exhausted. So he's turned the sound off so you can't hear him panting from climbing up the hill. And I wasn't in that one because I was running elsewhere, okay? He'd had enough, so he went home. Anyway, could we have the next picture, please? This is me standing next to a Karri tree with a twisted trunk. Have a look at that. Do you reckon, John, that would have been twisted when it was a little shoot and that's why it's like that? I'm asking John because he's a scientist and he deals with trees, so I thought he might know that one. Sorry, I will warn you next time. Okay, next picture, please. This is me reaching out to touch a Karri tree. Have a look, see all the bark at the bottom? It all drops off and sort of the ground around a Karri tree rises from the bark. Next picture, please. This is me hugging a Karri tree, which I do every time I go down to the Karri forest. I find a tree and I give it a great big hug, and my children are all told when they go down to a Karri forest they have to hug a tree. I think I even told you that, Kenny and Eve, when you went down, I said, hug a Karri tree for me. So if you go down there soon, take a picture of you hugging a tree and just send it to me, okay? It will bless me. All right, next picture. This is my dog hugging a Karri tree with a little help from my husband, Luke, okay? He just desperately wanted to grab that tree and hug it. It was funny, AI called this photo a person holding a bear hugging a tree. All right. I truly stand in awe of Karri trees, if you haven't already noticed. The Karri tree that I hugged was around long before I was born, and it will be around long after my body is turned to dust. Can you imagine crashing a car into a giant Karri? If your car gets into a fight with a giant Karri, your car will be crushed to the size of a tiny can of Coke. Because a tree as big as a Karri stands firm. You'd be hard-pressed to find a tornado that could pull them out of the ground. The Karri tree is magnificent display, is a magnificent display of God's awesome creative power. So when I went on my daily walk through the Karri forest, I found it very easy to worship my God, my Saviour, because firstly, He created the Karri tree. Amen? And he's infinitely superior to his creation. But secondly, because the carry tree speaks. Let's have a look at some scriptures to back up what I'm trying to tell you. In fact, it was these very scriptures that kept going around and around and around in my head as I walked through the forest. Okay, let's have a look at the first one. Psalm 96, verse 12 says, "Let all the trees of the forest sing for joy." Let all the trees of the forest sing for joy. Isaiah 55, verse 12 says, "For you shall go out in joy and be led forth in peace. The mountains and the hills before you shall break forth into singing, and all the trees of the field shall clap their hands." Clap their hands. In 1 Chronicles 16, verse 33, it says, "Then the trees of the forest will sing for joy before the Lord, for he is coming to judge the earth." Psalm 98, verse 8 says, "Let the rivers clap their hands, let the mountains sing for joy." Psalm 148, 3 to 10 and 13. "Praise him, sun and moon. Praise him, all you shining stars. Praise him, you highest heavens and you waters above the skies. Let them praise the name of the Lord. For at his command they were created, and he established them forever and ever. He issued a decree that will never pass away. Praise the Lord from the earth, you great sea creatures and all ocean depths, lightning and hail, snow and clouds, stormy winds that do his bidding, you mountains and all hills, fruit trees and all cedars, wild animals and all cattle, small creatures and flying birds. Let them praise the name of the Lord, for his name alone is exalted, his splendor above the earth and the heavens." Hallelujah. Psalm 19, verse 1. I wish I'd made these up. They're really good. "The heavens declare the glory of God. The skies proclaim the work of his hands." Who's ever gone outside at night on a clear night and gone, "Whoa, whoa." Actually, down south, the skies look amazing at night time. You just go, "Whoa, look at that. That's incredible." Psalm 66, verse 4 says, "All the earth worships you and sings praises to you. They sing praises to your name." Psalm 96 again, 11 to 13, "Let the heavens rejoice. Let the earth be glad. Let the sea resound and all that is in it. Let the fields be jubilant and everything in them. Let all the trees of the forest sing for joy. Let all creation rejoice before the Lord." For all those Christians who don't believe that I hear trees, well, they need to take a closer look at scripture, because it's right there in black and white. In fact, the trees are doing more than speaking. They're singing and clapping. And so are the mountains and the fields, the rivers and the seas, the stars, moon and sun. Not to forget all the animals, both wild and domesticated. The whole of creation is doing something extremely important that we need to demonstrate in our own lives. They are praising God. They are praising God. They are praising God. They are praising God. Their sheer existence openly displays his unfathomable power, creativity, and glory. I'm saying that one again. The very existence of creation openly displays his unfathomable power, creativity, and glory. And you'd have to be an absolute fool not to hear, not to acknowledge this fact. After all, that's what the Bible says. Psalm 14, verse 1. "The fool says in his heart," what, Les? "The fool says in his heart, there is no God." Look, people, You may not talk much to God. I don't know what your prayer life is like. But the least you could do is give credit where credit is due concerning his awesome work of creation. Don't you dare go out and look at something amazing in creation and just not acknowledge God. You know what? It's hard to miss it. It's very hard to miss it. Walking the dogs around our local park, Dad and I have fallen in love with a new family of ducks. It's that time of the year. The mother and father are highly protective of their 10 cute little ducklings, which is a good thing with all the children dogs running around the park. In fact, the male duck attacked my dog the other day. It was hilarious. It was really, she was just going up to give it a sniff and he turned around and gave her a what for. But yesterday morning, Dad and I were on the opposite side of the lake to these ducks. And I could see a teenager, about 15, 16 years of age, walking on a path that would lead him right past the beautiful little ducklings and their protective parents. Now, on the park, I watch kids and teenagers if I know there's ducklings around because I don't want anything bad to happen to the ducklings. So I turn into an animal policeman. But anyway, now the ducks are the talk of the park right now. All the avid dog walkers begin their conversations with acknowledging the presence of this new duck family. They're stopping to take photos. Every day they're counting the ducklings to make sure there are still 10 left. Are there still 10 left this morning? Yep, thanks, Dad. He went around, he counted them. That's the first thing he says, count the ducks, count the ducks. What would he do if there wasn't? We get depressed if there's a duck missing. Anyway, Dad prays for the ducks. Everybody has seen them and everyone says, oh, aren't they gorgeous? Oh, they're just so beautiful, blah, 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 blah. You know how it goes. And you want to catch a duck and you want to cuddle it or bring it home to your little pond so it can float on it. Just everybody loves it. So Dad and I both stopped to see the reaction of this teenager walking past the ducks. He was only a metre away from these cute little baby ducklings. And guess what? There was zero reaction because he did not see them. Why? Because he was busy looking at his phone while he was walking. I'm not saying talking on it. It's looking at his phone. Why would you do that? I hope you don't do that when you're at the park. Look at your phone. And he totally missed this beautiful picture that God had provided for him. He provides beautiful moments for us all, whether you're a Christian or not a Christian. He provides beautiful sunsets, doesn't he? Beautiful pictures everywhere. This boy missed the whole thing. There it was. But AI got the attention. AI. Does AI deserve the attention? No. How is your praise life? Sometimes our surroundings matter when we are trying to praise God, especially when prayer and praise feels like a struggle. I'm going to give you a tip today. If you're gazing at a blank wall, watching YouTube, or looking at the growing stack of dirty dishes in the kitchen sink, it can be hard to feel inspired to praise God, can't it? It can. We may know that God is good and faithful and his face is beautiful, but the kitchen is crying out to be cleaned. This doesn't look like a scene that is praising the Creator. True? Sometimes when I'm struggling to focus in praise and prayer, I have to go outside without my phone. We don't take our phones on walks because, let's face it, that's one of the biggest depressing distractions. I get outside and once the fresh air and sunlight hits my face and I can see and hear God's creation, my heart changes and my focus shifts from me to God. Perhaps the reason for the shift is that outside, I'm stepping into a praise community. Outside, I'm stepping into a praising community, not one made up of people in church buildings. And by the way, I love that kind of praise community. Church is my favorite praise community. I wish I could take you everywhere with me. That would be wonderful, but we can't. Sunday's our day of praising God with each other. However, when we step outside, there's a different kind of praising community, because everywhere God's creation is worshiping and praising Him. We've just read the scriptures that tell us this fact. Creation itself praises its maker. Our Bible speaks of fields being excited, rivers clapping, and trees singing. Jesus himself says that if we don't worship, the rocks themselves will cry out to God. When we get outside, we see not only how beautiful the world is that God has made, but also how the world is, in a million ways, singing back its thanks to God. Who loves that early magpie warble? They're actually singing, "Thank you, Jesus, for another beautiful day and for the worm I'm about to catch." As we worship God outside, we join in with all the praise of the earth that's going on, day and night, night and day. The praise out there is going on. It was happening way before you were born. It was happening while you were being born. It is happening all through your lifetime and will continue when you're long gone to be with Jesus. The earth is praising God. And when we get out there and become a part of it, we remember His beauty, His power, and His hope through the changing seasons around us. Our hearts are filled again with awe. Creation comes very close to you standing in awe, doesn't it? So Christians, let's try and get out into creation at some point today, if not each and every day in the week. God has made this beautiful world for us to enjoy in so many ways. I don't get why people have to take drugs. I don't get it. Why do they do that? All you have to do is go outside and look. Look around you. Don't ignore the privilege. Be inspired to praise Him. Before I close, I have something interesting to read to you, which greatly intrigued me when my husband Luke told me about it. Listen to this. ChatGPT is a generative artificial intelligence chat box. Yes, instead of chatting with human friends, you can now have a good conversation with AI, artificial intelligence, and ask it anything you want. It can also write essays, summaries, and stories for you. It can write sermons. I've never done that. It can generate original jokes and memes, explain complex topics in an easy-to-understand manner. It can assist with mathematics, that's good kids, music, composition, coding, media file manipulation, health improvement, and so much more. Well, listen, Ruslan KD, a popular YouTuber, asked ChatGPT some questions which resulted in interesting answers concerning God's creation. Ruslan KD's question was, listen, this is asking AI, if you were a human, would you believe this universe was created, or do you think it's a coincidence? I only want you to answer in one sentence, and you can only pick one answer. If you were human, would you believe this universe was created, or do you think it's a coincidence? AI answers, if I were human, I would believe the universe was created, given the complexity and order that suggest intentional design. Second question, Can you explain further in about 20 minutes, in 20 seconds or so? Can you explain further in 20 seconds or so? AI answers. I'd say that the universe's complexity, order, and fine-tuning, like the precise conditions needed for life, suggest intentional design rather than random chance. The existence of moral values, consciousness, and the origins of the universe also seem to point toward a purposeful creator rather than a mere coincidence. Next question. So what would you tell someone that does not believe there is a creator, even though it seems as all the evidence points away from this? Obviously talking about evolution. Answer. I'd suggest considering that belief in a creator isn't just about evidence. It's also shaped by personal experiences, worldview, and openness to the possibility. I'd encourage them to explore the fine-tuning of the universe, the origins of life and consciousness, and the moral framework we experience, asking whether these aspects might point to something greater than mere chance. I'd invite them to stay curious and open to discussions that go beyond just science or philosophy. Final question for AI. If you had to choose one world religion, which one is most probable to the point to point to? Which one is most probable to point to? AI answers, the one that centres on the concept of a personal loving creator who reveals himself through Jesus Christ, addressing both the human condition and providing a path for redemption. Interesting, isn't it? When I walked through those beautiful Karri forests while on holiday, I couldn't help but acknowledge the Creator. The trees were truly singing and clapping their hands so loudly to the Creator. I heard it. And I can't for the life of me figure out why other people don't. I can't. As I mentioned before, the Bible states that it is a fool who says there is no God. Well, I'm not the sharpest tool in the box, but I'm no fool. I heard the trees singing. I heard the praises. Do you? Because as a Christian, you should do. Additionally, I have the added privilege of advancing past this reality of hearing creation to seeing and truly knowing beyond a shadow of doubt that this marvelous creator whom the trees praise is also my saviour, my redeemer, and my friend. And that's why I join in with the trees in praising him. And when my short time on this earth has finished, and it is short compared to that of the Karri tree, I will spend eternity with him. Are you going to spend eternity with Jesus? Please listen to his creation. Take a hold and run with what God is telling you, because God knows what's best for you. After all, he created you, and you are his favourite creation. Karri tree doesn't come close to you as far as God's concerned. You, each one of you, are his favourite creation. Let us pray. Creator God, the mountains speak of your greatness. The sunrise speaks of hope. The rain speaks of your refreshment. The trees speak of your shelter. And I join with them today, praising and worshiping you. You are truly awesome. There is none like you. And Creator God, I pray everyone in this place will acknowledge your awesomeness from the youngest to the oldest. Lord, I pray for our children as they listen to teaching in schools that tells them that there isn't a creator. I pray that you will show yourself so very clearly to them that they will believe the truth of your word, that it is as it says it is in Genesis chapter 1, Lord, that the children will know that you have created the earth and themselves, and you died for that creation. So, Father, I pray for our children as they've heard this word. May they grow loving you and respecting what you have made for them. And for all us adults, those who are Christians here, I pray that they will never take your creation for granted. I pray that your creation will inspire us all to continually praise you as you've told us in your word to do, to continually praise you as your creation continually praises you. And Lord, for people in this place who may not know you, I pray this morning they would have heard you through this sermon, speaking to them ever so clearly. And I pray today will be the day that they say, yes, Lord, we acknowledge you as our creator. And I acknowledge you also as my Lord and Savior, that you came to die for me. Father, I thank you. I thank you for your word. I thank you for these beautiful verses that we've read. I thank you that outside is so beautiful today. And Lord, we give you all the praise, all the glory for your goodness towards us. Amen. If you don't know Jesus as your Savior, and you would really like to know Jesus as your Savior, I would like to personally pray for you. So come and have a talk with me after the meeting, and I would like to chat with you more about how to find Jesus as your Savior. You don't have to look too far. He's right here. And he wants to come into your life, into your heart, and make you a new creation in him. Amen, everyone.